you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is the reason we make this connection every day. He alone is the reason for this broadcast, the reason you tune in the radio station. We're thrilled about that. We have Kevin down there testing out new microphones and stuff in Florida and sending it through the splitter up here. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, sir.
How's things going for you?
Going well. Like I was just saying during the break, it was pretty neat to get a microphone that actually is made for this kind of thing instead of trucker headsets and, little Apple ear deals. Yeah. It's a blessing.
Oh, it's always good to have a microphone. And folks, I got to tell you this. This is a great honor that you would tune us in. It's a great honor that you take the time to do this. And may we ask that if you're enjoying us, that you do us a favor and give us a 5-star rating, whether it's Android, Apple, wherever you, if you happen to pick this up as a podcast, or better yet, if you listen to this on a broadcast, which seems to represent about half of you these days, that you take the time to give 5 stars to your radio station. Thank them for what they're doing for us. And we're just thrilled to have you guys. Thank you for that. If you haven't written a review, do it for us. Radio, online, however you listen to us, we really like that. Today, we're going to be talking about identification. And I remember one of the biggest things when I went in the Army is you get this whole new ID, you get this ID card. Back then, you got this green ID card that said you're active duty, you're in basic training, whatever. It was pretty exciting. They shaved your head, then they took a picture of you and gave you an ID card. You are as bald as a baby. I'm telling you. I mean, they shaved me bald, and all of a sudden, I identified as that. Well, God wants us to identify with Him. After all, He created us in our own image. I was reading the other day, the junior senator from Colorado is a guy, his last name is Hickenlooper. So I want you to think about that. This is the guy's name. He probably got beat up in school because of this. I hope not. I certainly don't want anybody getting beat up for their name, but his name is Bork Blakemore Hickenlooper. So Blake Bork, he was the governor of Colorado. Now he's the junior senator from Colorado. And he goes into a drugstore. He tells this story. And he ordered 10 cents worth of asafoetida, which is a material. It's like a ground up compost of rubber or latex to keep things from sticking to you. So if you have major surgery, it stinks, folks. I used that when I was in the Army and I broke my neck and I had a hole from where they had reinflated my lung and all that stuff. And I had to use that stuff. And it's kind of how I came across this, but he went to the drugstore clerk and he told the drugstore clerk, you can buy this stuff. 10 cents is a teaspoon worth. It's enough to get you through a lifetime with a hole in your chest. Well, anyway, he said, give me 10 cents worth. I don't know how long ago this is, but I'd bet 20 years ago or something. And so the clerk said, what's your name? And he told him it's Bork Blakemore Hickenlooper. And the clerk, he went ahead and he pushed the stuff over to the governor. And at that time, the governor said, well, I owe you some money. And he said, I'd rather not write down Hickenlooper or Asafoetida. So, folks, I'm just telling you, what is your identity? You know, the Bible says, so God created man into his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God made us male and female. Don't get lost on this, folks. It's biblical. It's Bible. It's real. And it says, for I know, I love that over in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So what's our ID? Our ID is in Christ. Our ID is in God. And what does that give us? That gives us thoughts of peace and not of evil. And it gives us, Kevin, an expected end. I'm fired up about that.
Yeah, it just crossed my mind. I don't know how much it has to do with it, but it does have to do with just one little slice of the idea of identification. God made us basically easily identifiable in certain aspects. You know, we're created human, so you can tell a human. And it's wrong to blur the line between human and beast. You know, the Bible says we have dominion over the creatures. So if, you know, these people say, I identify as a cat, some guy, there was a TV special, a guy living with goats. He put on big cardboard things to elongate his front, his arms so they could walk on all fours. And the goats were like, will you leave, please? But one guy lived with the apes. And he said, you know, as I think that the apes, you know, wanted to communicate with me. He said, I don't know how we could really know. And someone called into the call-in program and said, rather than telling us that we need to give apes human rights, that's what he was trying to do. He said, why don't we ask the apes if they want human rights? He said, or at least ask someone as close to apes as possible, like even maybe you, he told the guy that was living with the apes. And I just thought that was beautiful. Yeah. But God made us identifiable as humans. He made us identifiable as man and woman. And so, you know, I wrote some notes down. I write thoughts down. And this morning in my devotions, this thought came to my mind as I was looking at some scriptures. The movement to blur the genders is not of God. Now, what we do with a society that's already very blurred is we have to start with people where they're at. We cannot say this, you know, dis a person or disregard or just devalue a person because their lines are blurred. Everybody's blurred if they're not in Christ and growing in Christ. But the unisex movement started in the 80s. But, you know, unisex, when it's referring to unisex some things, it's not meant in a bad way. For instance, unisex colors are considered to be things like orange, blue, purple. But, you know, the ones that are non-unisex are baby blue for the boys and pink for the girls. And anyway, really, it's better put non-gender specific or non-gender colors. And so when they first come out with unisex bathrooms, unisex clothes, really what they were trying to do in the movement is to blur the lines that of identification. In other words, it doesn't matter. It's just all a matter of, the, you know, a man-made societal thing. I'm not even going to get into the biology of the thing. It's not societal. God, in the beginning, made them male and female. And so activism has actively tried to flip this thing. And the Bible calls that they wrought confusion. For instance, Leviticus 18:23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. If a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them. God's basically saying, no, I've set up clear identifications. And what I've identified as male, female, human, beast, good, bad, light, darkness. He said, let's keep that. That's important for you. It's important. This is, you know, the earth is he given to the sons of men. Your planet is going to do a lot better if you just let the identification show. And like Doug, you were saying, let's go ahead and let it shine that, you know, who we are in Jesus Christ. My pastor says, live loud. You know, just go ahead and let people know I'm in Christ. I am of Christ. He is my all in all. And people are going to be like, you know what? I don't like that. Or they're going to say, you know what? I think I want to hear more. And I want to be that way, Doug.
Yeah, brother, that's good. It's like Brother Thompson, you know, we're one letter apart, you know. You love the world and I love the word. And, you know, friends, I've got to tell you, identification with Christ, you know, we start that with baptism. And, you know, when we baptize, we identify with Christ. We're showing the whole world. We're making a public statement. I'm going to be a member of Morningside Baptist Church, church I go to when people get baptized. You become a member of that church. So unless you've been baptized in, you know, a church of like faith, you're getting baptized after you get saved. And you're identifying. But that identification shows your whole church family, sometimes your family, your community. But who do you ID with? I remember years ago, Brother Kevin, I went to a football game. I'm a big Giants fan, and I was just a kid. I was like 12 years old. I was taking jobs. I was shoveling snow. I was doing everything I could to go to that December football game. When I went, I was able to buy a Giants jersey, Giants pants, a Giants hat, Giants socks, a Giants towel, and a Giants bag. Everybody who saw me knew that I identified with being a New York Giants fan.
Yeah.
You know, it takes more than carrying a Bible to know you identify with Christ. It's different. It's having that kind smile. It's having that look in your eye. It's caring. It's holding a handshake just a little bit longer. I ID with Christ.
Yeah.
It's throwing a hand over a shoulder of the manager of the Starbucks that gives you a free cup of coffee. It's looking the girl in the eyes that says, I'm having a bad day. You know, folks, that's who I want to identify with. I want God somehow to permeate through me. I don't deserve it. I'm just this big knucklehead. I'm 100% knucklehead with 100% God pushing through. Folks, we'll be right back with you. Hang with us.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Yeah, folks, you hold that handshake a little bit longer. You look people in the eyes. You invite folks to church. You hand out a tract. You just care about people and love. You could tell. People could tell, hey, that guy IDs with Christ. Or that gal, she makes a difference. I can't tell you how many people in my life have made a difference because their identification with Christ. I'm so glad that people do that. Live out loud. I like that. Old Con Howerton out there in Wichita, Kansas. And you know, the Bible says over in chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, prepared for you the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave them drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked or clothed? Or when we saw the sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Boy, Christ, he immediately draws some comparisons here, and he's saying, yeah, I'm worried about the poor. I'm worried about the sick. I'm worried about those in prison. I'm worried about those without clothes. I'm worried about everybody. I'm in identification with them. And I don't care where they are. And, you know, the righteous are welcomed from anywhere. Those people want to hear about how they can get saved. I welcome them. And, you know, he's doing some things here. I love that he's listing acts of kindness and compassion. We talked about that. Shaking a hand a little bit longer. I remember we had a lady for 15, 20 years when I was up in New York. When I got there, she was doing it 15 or 20 years when we planted our church. She would go down to the nursing home and play the piano and get everybody out. And she would line up preachers from 50, 60 miles away. There were no preachers in our town to come out and speak in that nursing home every Sunday. Never missed an opportunity. She went to the ladies' prison 100 miles away. Every single week, she would go down to the bad street where the bad clubs were at, and she would sit out back as the dancers showed up to take off their clothes and stuff, and she'd pass out tracts and say, "Boy, do we love you! Boy, we'd love you to come join us at church." She'd pass out bags of food. She would tell people where they need to go. I think that's what an identity with Christ looks like. I think in an identity with Christ worries about the needy and the marginalized. I do. I think there's a connection there. I think an identity with Christ, it's like, Kevin, I'm down in Florida. I'm talking to these people. I'm looking for these people. I'm actively seeking people no matter where they are to help them. We need to be there. We need to, and how do we do that? How do we cultivate this heart of compassion? I think we read stuff like this scripture. You know, I asked God the other day, keep on cultivating in this, man. I want to reflect the love of Christ. And, I just want to make a difference. I want to hold people. I was with a lady the other day. I don't even know if I've told you this yet, Kevin, but I went to a doctor's appointment the other day. No big deal. Just got a shot in my elbow. I got some tennis elbow, which is the lateral, the outside of my elbow. It's hurt like crazy. They gave me a shot in one. You have to wait a month or two to get a shot in another so it doesn't cause you to get diabetes or anything. Well, anyway, the nurse came in and I said, how are you? That's all I said. And she looked at me and she said, okay, finally, after 6 years. And I stopped her and I said, I need more of an explanation than that. I said, I'm sorry. I'm a knucklehead. You got to help me through these last 6 years. And she said, I was a bad wife. I cheated on my husband when we first got married. And then he cheated on me, left me for the woman next door. I was miserable. We hated each other. Life went terrible. And after about a year, she said, this knuckleheaded husband of mine, he got saved. Started going to church and inviting me. He left this woman he cheated on me with, and I started going to church with him. We set a pew apart for a year and a half. And then I moved to his pew one day because the other one was full. And she said, after about 6 months, the pastor walked up to both of us one morning and said, it's all right to sit next to each other. Are you guys ready to learn how to forgive and be like Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, without missing a step, my husband said, oh God, help me do that. I love this woman. She said, 1 year ago, we got married, and it's right this time. You know what, folks? I want to identify with the God who fixes things. You know what I mean, Kevin? I want to identify with that.
Yeah, Doug, I am looking at this scripture a little bit on a different thing, but this was what I was noticing before we began the program, that the sheep and the goat judgment that Jesus is following this thing up with when he's saying, you know, the sheep are going to go into the kingdom and it's going to be good. The goats are going to be judged. And this is probably the end of the tribulation when it takes place. But I'm mindful of this, that sheep and goats, when God makes that judgment, it's going to be the true judgment. Sheep and goats sound alike. If you ever listen to a sheep and a goat, they both kind of go, meh, you know, but sheep is a little more sheepish sounding, and goat is a little bit more forceful. And goats, of course, they've got different character. They will butt, they'll butt you in your, you know, rear end. But the sheep, you know, they're the ones that can be led to slaughter, and it's just a different animal altogether, but they sound similar. And I think it's interesting that Jesus comes and makes a decision who gets judged and carried off to eternal judgment and who gets carried off to the kingdom at the end of the tribulation based on how they are treating those that love Jesus Christ, that trust Jesus Christ, God's people. And, you know, we can make judgments today. I think, you know, I say make a judgment. God's the judge. I get that. But we can, I get concerned for people that say the same talk and sound the same, but they are not in love with God's people and God's church. They're in love with themselves, and they will butt the pastor, and they will cause issues wherever they go. Because when you love the brethren, you are like, you know what? You've been down the same road as me. You've been convicted of sin. You saw you're worthless, accepted Christ. God forgave you, made you feel better about the whole thing. Now you distrust yourself, but you sure trust Jesus Christ, and you're going forward. And that's sheep-like. But goats, they're just, they can say the same thing. They're good at it. But Jesus will do the separation someday. And when he does that, I want to be mindful of the fact that I don't want to just take, you know, my kids, I got 7 kids, they were raised in church. I don't want them just talking the talk. I want them, you know, actively seeking Jesus Christ and evidencing that they love God's children. And I want to you know, God sets it up and tests us that way sometimes to make sure we're doing it right.
Yeah, that's so good, brother. And that's the guy I want to be. And I know what that's what Kevin said. That's what I want for my kids. That's what I want for myself. That's so good. And just to identify with Christ, to put others before self, to welcome strangers, to clothe the naked, to visit the sick, to visit those in prison. It's a different paradigm. Yeah. It's stepping out and saying, I'm going to be different. Because I identify with Christ. And friends, isn't that what it's all about? An identification with Christ. That's and when you identify with Christ, there's a compassion that comes with that. There's a generosity in our daily lives. And you know, and I'm not saying name it and claim it, but I'm here to tell you, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread. I'm telling you, when you step out for God, you know what he does? He fills everything in. I mean, there's no voids. He takes that cup pressed down, and it's beyond measure. It makes no sense. But listen, folks, I deal with Christ. Wear that smile a little bit longer. Look people in the eyes, no matter where they're from. Take marginal people and give them a hug. And you know what? To the least of these, the Lord says, those who take care of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. We love you guys. Come on back tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the principle of love. We're going to be talking about the longest kiss in history. You don't want to miss it. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name, while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.